Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the podcast where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence that just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
More comics.
Yeah, we have nothing. Actually, do we have anything else to talk about? I always feel like maybe we should kind of have some stuff to bring up before we get into the books.
Yeah,
that might be interesting to share, but I don't think we do.
No, not right now.
We were just talking about paella.
Yeah. No, I don't like shrimp.
Yeah, but I do, so, yeah.
So I have to cook it a lot.
So if you have any opinions on paella, feel free to contact our show.
Yeah, let us know how you feel about paella, because I always feel like, oh, I should make it, because it would make me cool.
Yeah,
I
already know.
And then I realize that I don't like shrimp very much.
Well, we'll get like one or two comments from our usuals, you know, who have decisions about delicious,
delicious paella,
delicious seafood based meals, which I'm a fan. I mean, I like a good chowder.
Well, yeah. I mean, who doesn't like a good chowder?
Well, not everybody likes clams. Yeah, they're wrong. Although it's one of those things where, you know, I guess I'll just bring this up, but, you know, used to live in Boston.
Yes.
And, you know, our...
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
I was talking about how overrated the legal seafood chowder is.
Yeah, no, it's super overrated. Like, so. They're like, oh, but it gets served at, like, every inaugural dinner for the White House. And you're like, yeah, well, I'm sorry, none of those people have taste.
Wait, does it really?
Yeah. I think it has ever since, like, JFK was, like...
Well, that sucks for president. Those people.
I know, and it's not that good. It's really, you know what,
that sucks for people that have to suffer through some shitty chowder.
I know. Well, the best
Obama, chowder. No wonder Obama looks so worn out.
I know. He's like, God damn it, I gotta eat this fucking chowder.
He's like, really? I had to do this 8 years. You know, at least I'll have to do it. At least if I can get elected again, I don't get inaugurated again. You know.
But what if he gets invited? Can you pass on the chowder? Can you be like, no, thank you, I don't want
I would
the
ask
chowder?
For a hearty minestrone.
Can you ask for that? I mean, if you're the president, you
no
can't.
No substitutions, Mr. President.
Yeah, but if you're like a former president, you might not get to make substitutions.
You also could be, if you're allergic to seafood, you know, you might have to make a decision. But
the best chowder I had when we were in Boston was in Lynn, of all places, at the Porthole Pub. I don't know if you ever came there with us.
I don't think I did.
My aunt loves to go there. So, like, we would go there, and it was, like, thick and good and like delicious, and then we go to legal seafood and it's just fucking water that's just white. It's just like skim milk with like a potato in it, and you're like, no, I don't want this, fuck this, this skim is not milk. Chowder
skim milk with potato,
yeah, but it's like just like a bowl of skim milk with like one chunk of potato, just like, and they're like $19 please,
yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
fuck you. No,
just overall legal seafood is kind of a racket. But
anyway, that doesn't really have anything to do with anything.
Yeah, I know, but we could, you know, whatever. It's our show. We talk about what we want.
That's true. We don't have to talk about comic books at all. Ha ha.
Worst chowder ever.
Welcome back to Chowder Talk, or Chowder Chat.
Chowder Chat.
Welcome back to Chowder Chat here on the Sideshow Network.
Yeah, this would be a good conversation for whatever food, like if we had like Alton Brown as a guest or something.
He'd probably think we're crazy people.
What do you mean? He's the one that makes, like, sandwiches out of nitroglycerin or whatever does.
Oh, it's one of those, like, what are they called? Like, molecular gastronomy.
He's a gastro guy. Yeah, he's a food scientist.
No.
Anyways, okay, so let's get into our book. It is The Chowder. No, I'm sorry.
This book's about chowder, guys. That's why we were prefacing it with all that talk.
We have a little bit of a banter beginning. We make sure it ties into the rest of the story, and then we go to it. That's what we do on this show. Rate and subscribe. Tell your friends. 5 stars. Anyways.
Like, I really wish they'd stop talking about comic books and start talking about chowder.
So we're doing The Ray, Volume 2, number 23 from May 1996. And The Ray is basically DC's light guy.
Mm.
I don't really know who he's analogous to. I probably should know, try to have an answer for this, but I don't know who he's analogous to. Maybe Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, Captain Marvel. Mm-mm. But she was more of like a full spectrum of rays and lights. And he's just pretty much just like sunlight, like hard light sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's like a light guy, you know, and he zaps around and he had like a weird outfit that kind of looked like a marching band kind of thing, like his jacket.
Mm.
Or actually, no, actually, the best way to describe it is in WCW, Sting. No. I'm going to tie this in because in our wrestling fans. What?
Sean's best way to describe anything is to relate it to wrestling.
Pretty much. Either that or The Simpsons. Yeah. But basically, you know, his outfit, if you're not familiar with the Ray, his jacket outfit kind of looks like...
Sting when he was at WrestleMania with that cool coat?
Sort of, yeah. But it was like back in the 90s, he used to wear basically what the Ray wears, but like different colors.
Mm.
And like shoulder pad, like things. Like it was kind of like a Captain Pepper. People call it the Captain Pepper, the Sergeant Pepper outfits.
Right.
And he had like different colors and stuff. This is back when he was like California Sting. And so basically, Ray, and he's got that, and he's got like his Finn helmet, you know, Ray has his Finn helmet. So, but on the cover here, it says Zapped by Death Ray. And we have somebody that's kind of colored like the Ray in the black and gold, which I think is actually an awesome scheme.
Sure.
I think it looks really cool. But, and it's just this, I believe it is his villain death mask. The Ray villain death mask, but basically colored like, you know, dressed like the Ray.
It's a big B.
What?
It's a B.
A B.
He's a big B.
Big B. He's got gigantic fist.
There's like circuitry at the bottom.
There are tubes.
Oh, there are tubes.
There will be tubes.
And what year is this again?
1996.
Okay.
So this is a very cyber book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like... What's his face? You know, when Billy Idol put out Cyberpunk, the album, you know, because it's, you know, when you get to the 90s, you're like, cyber computers, you know, whatever. So this is kind of where
that is. There was a really terrible episode of The X-Files, probably one of the worst episodes. Well, there's actually two. Is it the same one? No, it's not. There's one where it's got like these like hackers and like a sentient computer that like blows shit up from space and like this like goth cyberpunk hacker girl. That's a terrible episode. But then they have another one where Mulder and Scully actually go into a virtual reality computer and they have to like fight like some babe that's been created by the computer, but who is like now sentient and killing everybody. Both of those are terrible. Just as an FYI. But this was very 90s. It was very like, oh, it's cyber. And I think one of them was written by like William Gibson or something. But it was still bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer stuff usually doesn't fascinate me.
No, it usually ends up really, really cheesy and really bad. And it does not age well.
Yeah. And it's funny because they just had recently in the past couple of years, they had a CSI Cyber.
Or oh,
CSI,
no.
like a tech version of it. That got canceled. So...
Yeah.
Because it was probably a lot very boring. But...
Is CSI Miami still on?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't think so.
That's probably for the best.
I don't think they have any CSIs now? Because they had a bunch. Like, New York's not around. I think.
Well, I know because I was really excited about CSI New York because Gary Sinise was going to be in it.
Yeah.
And Gary Sinise is kind of a badass, but it was terrible.
Yeah.
And I watched one episode and I was like, sorry, Gary Sinise, I can't watch this.
And then I don't know what happened to... regular season, I think I canceled because it was like it went from like William Peterson to Ted Danson to fucking what's his face, Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. I think he's the one that ended up as the last guy on that show.
NCIS is still on.
NCIS is still around. Whatever.
Which should not be.
I
don't watch any of those shows. All I know is they should not exist.
Okay. Well, wow, we're getting off on a lot of tangents.
Sorry.
It's funny because I'm like, oh, we should talk about stuff beginning. And like, we totally did. And I'm like, wow, we're like not talking about comics. So.
No, but here we are. This is a cyber comic. So
well, here's you want to know why? Mm. Because this book is kind of boring.
No, this book doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you can explain it to me because I read this beginning like three times and I went, no, I don't get it.
Well, I'll try my best here to explain. So basically, okay, so the Ray is Ray Terrell.
Uh-huh.
He is this... He and before this series started, there was a mini series, and he found out that he is what?
I just want to see it because I understand like that. That's all good, like the backstory, but it doesn't help me understand what's happening in this book.
Okay, fine. But I just want to say basically what you need to know about the Ray. It's like basically he's like Green Lantern, but with light. But he can do make hard light constructs. He can basically, but he can also create, heal himself with his light.
He's a lantern without a ring.
He can absorb. He absorbs. Yeah, basically
if Green Lantern fucked Superman and they had a child.
And he was made out of like a Green Lantern ring. Yes.
And absorb sunlight like Superman.
Absorb sunlight and he can like say like there's actually like a story where he got shot in the head and I guess he was able to turn himself into a light being and save himself. So you can do that.
Yep.
Apparently he was a kid who was told when he was a kid, he was told that he was the son of the original Ray.
Okay.
But his father wasn't around. His father he was raised by somebody else and he was told that he was allergic to sunlight. He was taught in a school with like shuttered windows and dark. He was, there was a lot of like him never going outside.
Uh-huh. Some people are allergic to sunlight. That is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But he, he was told that and then he found out he wasn't. And now he's like the Ray and now he wears like his Sting jacket and stuff. But anyways, so he's also, from what you need to know, he's also a very good computer programmer.
Oh man. Computers, guys.
He's a hacker dude. He's very good at tech. He's the guy that you call to install your, Word. he's the one that helps you with the email. He helps. He helps set up Wonder Woman's inbox.
Oh yeah.
She was like, hey, how do I filter out Bruce@batman.com?
No, it was. I don't know what it was at, but his email address in Batman v Superman pops up as Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Which, what the fuck?
Bruce Wayne 6969.
Yeah.
At
Bruce.com.
At Bruce.com.
At suckbrucesdick.com. But like, why? That upset me, I think, more than most of the rest of the movie, because if he's supposed to be the world's greatest detective and like hiding his identity and so good at this shit, why the fuck is it coming from Bruce Wayne? What is wrong with you?
Because he did not have the Ray and he did not watch CSI Cyber. That's why.
And apparently everybody in this fucking movie is stupid as dick.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, continue.
So the Ray, I think this is a flashback of him buying computer programming.
Oh, he goes and he buys like a computer program. Like, just, he bought, what's it called?
Dark Invader.
And he's like, hey, guy at the store, can I have that? And the guy's like, yeah, it costs you, like, over $100. So he buys it.
And he's like, it runs on Unix. There's, like, a computer talk. It runs on Unix. Oh, yeah. I've got.
So he, like, takes it home and he puts it in. But he also says here, so this is, I think, this is why I question what happens in this book, because I believe he is high. Because it says.
He might be.
He's installing this program on his computer. And he says, this is going to be really cool. Bypass all this user interface crap. Insert Ray Terrell's custom compiler. A few strings of random instruction code just to keep me on my toes. A pinch of oregano.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you mean weed? Like,
are you gonna do a bowl?
That's the thing. That's why I'm like, maybe the reason this comic book doesn't make any sense is because it's actually happening while he's high.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So he but does the computer shit, and all of a sudden this guy appears.
Well, it's Death Mask. That's it. So basically what... So
like he conjures a computer construct.
Well, he created Death Mask because Death Mask was a training... It was to be a training exercise for him as the Ray.
Right, but it's not in his computer. It's like outside of it.
Well, right. He created it, but it became sentient, and now it's like it's computer fucking shit.
Well, he seems happy about it because he says, let's try the voice... He's like, yes, because this guy's standing outside his computer. He's like, all right, let's try the voice.
Because this is a flashback.
Is that what this is?
This is a flashback, because this is why it's colored gray. It's kind of like Lady Dynamite.
Oh, I get it now.
Because now it's his present day, and it's like, end game, and he's got to fight this thing.
I want a count of how many comic books are titled End Game.
All of them.
They, I can't.
Even a Highlander movie is called Endgame.
I think on this show alone, we've done at least 12.
Probably.
They're all fucking called Endgame.
Yeah.
I want to start a Tumblr that's just pictures of the word Endgame inside of comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So basically, and this is where like a lot of shit kind of just kind of gets confused, you know, because not just a lot.
This is why I was so confused.
It's a lot of fighting and a lot of wham and right. blazing and if you, whooshing.
If you're dumb like me and you didn't understand that that first page was a flashback, basically it goes from a guy standing, like sitting at his computer looking at a construct to two dudes punching each other in the face outside near a car. And you're like, what the fuck? What? And it never says, like, flashback. There's no little helpful narration boxing. You just kind of have to guess. And if you're dumb, like myself, you don't pick up on it.
Yeah. So basically, you just have a bunch of this. And there's, like, a kid. There's, like, a he's trying to defend this.
It's a child hymn. I don't understand where this kid comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what this kid is. He's a...
It's a child Ray.
Child version of the Ray or whatever.
And they're, like, outside, and there's fighting, and the kid's like, I'll help you, Ray. But then we do have to talk about this.
Oh, what, the Batman Forever?
Which is an ad. Yes. So it's an ad for Batman Forever.
Well, if you order Batman Forever on pay-per-view.
Yeah, pay-per-view Batman Forever.
Save the $40 on admission to Six Flags.
Yeah. It's the year's biggest hit. But you can get $40 off of admission at Six Flags, which means even back then it was still fucking overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, Six Flags was probably like $800 a go. And
yeah,
you're
like
basically
what is it
paying,
now?
You're getting $40, which is basically what you would pay on pay per view to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe actually it's maybe twice as much.
Yeah.
The movie was $20, and you're getting, it's a little bit of a deal, but not really.
But like now, can't you bring like a Pepsi can?
You can literally bring cans.
$60 off now or something?
You could be like a dude on the street and be like, hey, look at that Pepsi. All right, I'm going to go to Six Flags. Let me ride that roller coaster.
Six Flags.
Because they probably have the Batman themed shit there.
They do have Batman themed shit there.
Yeah.
There's the one by my house where I grew up, and they had like a ride that was just like a basically like the swings where you sit on the swing and it spins.
Yeah.
But it had like a big bat symbol on the top. So, of course, I wanted to ride it.
So, funny story about Six Flags.
I have one too. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, mine's really quick. Basically, when I was, growing up, they changed it over from what was originally called Darien Lake, which is a town in western New York that had this amusement park called Darien Lake, and they had all these roller coasters there. And it became a Six Flags Darien Lake. And they opened it up, and they ended up having the Superman Man of Steel ride.
Oh, no.
Right? And the first, I don't know if it was the first ride, but it was like very early on, maybe the first day, like a really, really fat guy rode the roller coaster and was not fully in, and he fell off the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think he lived, because I think it was like as it was part coming in, he went, and he fell out, and it was kind of like this big to do. And like, you know, the radio station, the guy didn't die. The radio station was like, oh, fat guy. Oh, Man of Steel, more like Man of Fat. Or whatever jokes that they did that, 1998 or whatever.
No, because the amusement park near me used to be called Elidge's.
Yeah.
But now it's called Six Flags Elidge Gardens. And they used to have this ride. It was called the Rainbow.
Yeah.
So it's like this big, long thing that holds like 40, 50 people. And it just goes up and down, right? Everybody sits on it and just goes up in like a big circle. It's actually kind of fun. And for this, so they closed it down and they fixed it up and like got all these new harnesses or whatever. And like the day or two after they opened it, there was this, unfortunately, like mentally disabled teenager who was riding it, and he did not like the harness, and he was really small, and he actually was able to like get out of it, and he fell off and he died. But that was not my Elidge Garden story. My Elidge Garden story is, and I will keep it quick, it is the site of the worst date I've ever been on.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard of this.
No.
I've known you for 8 years.
I know. I went on a date with some guy when I was younger, and he insisted on going to Elidge's. And I really didn't want to because I knew it was super expensive, and it was weird for a first date because we were going to be there all day.
Yeah.
So I tried to talk him out of it, and it didn't work. So we ended up going. And needless to say, it was the most miserable date I've ever been on in my life. So don't first date at an amusement park. Go with no.
Because then you're there the whole time.
That's the thing, and you can't leave. If it doesn't work, you're stuck there. And you're like, oh my God.
You can't because you're already invested on actually going to a bunch of things there.
Yes.
You know, you can't just walk in and be like, this date sucks and leave.
Right.
You know, it's not like a arcade or.
Right. It's not like, oh, let's go meet for coffee.
Or even a movie.
Like
you can walk out of a movie.
Right.
You can walk out. You can go to tell dates like this date sucks and go to the bathroom and be like, leave.
Right. Well, I mean, like if you had a cup of coffee, like you're only there for that cup of coffee. And then you're like, oh, you know, if this works, we can stay longer. But if not, we can leave. But when you're in Elidge's or an amusement park and you spent a shit ton of money to get in there, you can't.
You got to buy Italian ice after you get off of the fart coaster.
Yeah.
You
know, well, no, in the entire time we were there, he complained about how expensive it was, even though I literally spent an entire, I think, day trying to talk him out of going here because it was so expensive. And then he complained about how expensive it was, even though I paid for myself.
Bleh.
It was like literally like every single thing we did. He was like, this is really expensive. And I was like, okay.
That man was not me.
Because
I would actually probably, I mean, if we went to a thing, I probably would be okay with it. But I probably wouldn't have picked to go that on first date.
No, it, to the point where like on the way home, I you know how I get to a point where I'm no longer nice? Like it got to the point where like on the way home he had like literally every other thing out of his mouth was how expensive it was, and I finally started I lost my shit. I was like, I told you not to come here. I did not want to go here in the first place, and all you did was bitch about how expensive it was. Take me home.
Oh boy.
We didn't speak for the rest of the ride, and I just got out of the car, and that was I never saw him again. The end. So yeah, it was not a good date. Don't go to amusement parks, kids.
No.
Even when I
man.
Tried to change the subject, like I would be like, "Oh yeah, no, it totally is. Wow, isn't this ride fun?" Like he would write back to how expensive it was.
Well, because he's a sucky person.
Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, so the Ray is not on a date.
You can tell that we're not. Look,
this comic book doesn't make any sense.
It's
to
hard.
Me.
We're trying. That's what I was kind of like. We're like, because there's all this stuff. Sorry, guys. But so basically, a bunch of this tech stuff is fighting, you know, and there's, let's see, here's a Star Wars reference where he's like, that bad Star Wars rap. I'm like,
I don't know what that meant.
I think because he's like, this death mask is like, he's like, once again, you're time to resume your lessons. Maybe it's like a Yoda thing. I don't know.
But I mean, I'm like, okay, that's not that big of a Star Wars reference, right? Like, he's not like, I'm the Death Star or whatever.
Han Solo. And he's like, shut up. Oh, but so, okay. So, real quick, we have to do another quick aside here, and we'll try to keep this quick here. But so there's an ad here for Wonder Woman issues coming up. Excuse me, and it's the John Byrne run of the second series, or of the, you know, the rebooted 80s series, and so the image is just as it's just a blast from the past, and you have Wonder Woman and her whoever that is,
kid,
little fucking, it's like, I don't know, she had a little kid sidekick back in the 90s,
whatever,
not Wonder Girl, and she's being attacked by the Flash, but
he's doing windmill arms.
He's just doing one arm as a windmill. And he's doing it so, like, it just, and it's drawn because it's like, it's drawn, you know, as you
supposed to be, he's going so fast.
He's going so fast. And so you see his arm at all these multiple angles, you know, and it just looks ridiculous. And I don't know the context behind it because this is blast from the past. I'm like, what? He just shows up and he's like, hey, fop, 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 fop. You know, check what I can do. And she's like, oh no, don't do that in public, you know, and then some little, because there's a kid here. I don't know who this kid is.
I don't know.
So maybe we should have to read that book.
I would like to find that book because I want to know about Flash's windmill arm. I don't give a fuck about that kid, though.
That looks like something stupid.
I don't like when they put kids in comic books. Is that okay?
Well, you don't like Damian Wayne, so there's a...
No, I don't like kids in comic books at all.
Yeah.
Children, like, there's a fucking child sidekick in this one, and I'm just like, go away.
Yeah, so...
Go away.
Nah, man. See, and speaking of child sidekick, this is when, as a... Because there's, you know, back in this... reality, because sometimes it kind of goes between like the tech world and reality,
and it's kind of hard to tell because like sometimes you're in a car and then other times there's like circuitry everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
really kind of hard. It's
actually really hard to tell what's going on.
Yeah,
because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of explosions. There's like the way it's drawn.
Yeah,
it's like very kinetic, and it's just kind of like what the fuck, like
that's a good word, kinetic. There's a lot of what's going on here, and it's
really hard to focus on one thing on like this page we're looking at here has what, like five panels?
Yeah.
But the way they're drawn, it's hard to focus on those panels because of the way that they're drawn.
Yeah.
And because there's like a big border around them that has stuff happening in it, and like every panel has stuff happening, and like there's explosions and thooms and lights, and it's just like, whoa, it's really, I did not like this book very much.
Yeah. So, so there's like some little kid who's in the car who looks like a mini version of the Ray decides to
Child Ray.
He decides to like unleash some of his powers.
Sure.
And
some of that sun allergy all over the place.
Yeah, he's shooting in, you know, and the Ray is trying to not over exert himself. He overexerts himself, and apparently his clothes almost burn off.
Yeah, he's like going so hard that his clothes almost burn off. But I thought he was wearing like armor.
I don't know. I thought his jacket was a thing that he did, but he just kind of, you know, apparently he could burn that off, and then.
Sure.
So then then the little kid comes to the rescue.
Fuck you, kid.
Because he comes again, because he's about to be, it's like this thing where the death mask is like, he doesn't have the Ray exerted himself too much with all of his sun energy, all of his light energy. And he's like, I'm done, and death mask is like, I'm going to do it. He's like, do it,
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to punch you in the face and destroy you. And then
punch me.
But the little boy,
Avenge me,
and the little boy Ray shows up to, just as he does that, I feel like he also, something happens where,
I don't know, he zaps something, and then little kid's like, oh fuck, what did I just do?
No, he gets, okay, so Death Mask, or Death Ray, or whoever, zaps the fuck out of, or absorb, does something where it looks like he absorbs
the Ray
into the Ray.
Yeah.
Because that's how now he looks like he is on a cover.
Right.
And just as he's doing that, the little kid shows up and he's like,
Oh no,
what happened? And he's like, I have won. Death Ray lives, Right. Now he's Death Ray. He's not Death Mask. He's Death Ray because he has the Ray.
He absorbed him. I get it. This child looks like he's wearing footy pajamas.
Yeah.
But like the worst footy pajamas. They're not like fun ones. They're like sad ones. Because it's supposed to be like his little uniform and it just looks sad.
He kind of looks like Captain Marvel a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit. He has
bit.
Like a little like Captain Marvel-ish kind of cape.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks silly. Anyway, so now Death Ray is like, I'm Death Ray.
Like, yeah, woo. And then we're inside Death Ray.
We're in some sort of
it's like in the light force. So it's basically like the speed force, yeah. But like for light.
Yeah, there's a light force that he kind of has a thing with. And he's in there and he runs into
the other Ray.
Another version of the Ray.
And they like hug each other or something.
Yeah, they have some sort of
they're like, oh, it's so good to see you.
Because because his father is in there and his father's like, what the hell did you do, son? He's like, don't call me son and I'll take orders from you. And.
Oh, yeah, because everybody has daddy issues in comics.
Yeah.
There can't be anybody who actually likes their father. Even Superman had to have, a weird relationship with him.
And apparently, though, but something he's, he's not dead, but he says something
he's been sucked into the light force.
He's sucked into the light force. Apparently, some sort of, evil, tick of the light force.
Oh, that's right. It's like a sentient parasite. No, it's not. I mean, obviously, but it's like a parasite, basically.
And it attached himself on his shoe. This is what's happening.
Yeah,
it attached himself on a shoe, and he apparently he hugged his dad. It passed it on to him.
Right. Then when he came home,
and he passed it on, and his dad passed it on to Jenny,
who worked on the computer.
That the Ray has, some Ray has it,
right,
to set up his battle simulation.
And she passed this light tick into the computer
while the battle simulation program was up. And now, okay, because apparently she was trying to hack his computer to get into his journal to find him.
Sure.
Because he's such a good hacker.
Whatever.
So he had it all encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I kind of get this now. And
no, I get it. I just think a light tick is stupid.
And then. So Death Mask became sentient.
Right, because of the light tick.
Oh, man, I get it. It makes so much sense now. Not really.
No, it's just really fucking dumb.
It's just kind of okay.
That's how it happened. That's why we have this sentient guy. And now there's, circuits and zapping. And
so now there's a bunch of talk. What is he, I have to manually over...
I don't even know what's going on.
string together a scripting program. So basically,
he's trying to like virus the guy out.
Yeah, and he's basically it's like a if Silicon Valley were an action movie,
yeah,
this could be like a scene in it.
You know what this is? This is, you know, every single movie you've ever seen where they're like desperately trying to upload a virus to something while like driving in a car.
Like a fucking
like in Fast 7 or Fast 8 or whatever. Like that's what this is.
Yeah.
It's the comic book version of that scene. And that scene is never fun.
Yeah.
It's boring and it's stupid because you know they're gonna upload it. You're not worried about it.
No, not every time they do.
I think
not every time does it work out.
But they still win.
I guess.
Sure.
You know, there's always a thing that has to be you know, it has to, you know, some sort of deus machina or whatever.
It's always like some guy's typing really, really fast and like, hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm like, I'm almost in. It's that scene.
How could you type so good when you're driving like that? When they're like, zoom, zoom. And you're like, I can type. I can't type. I can't type normal sitting on a couch, you know, sometimes, you know, I could get by.
Well, I have, you know, we have like an IM feature at work and like I'll type something out really quick. I can't tell you the number of times I have to go back and like correct myself because of all the fucking typos.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting still.
So Light Boy is fighting Death Ray, and just as shit's about to go down. Jesus Christ, it's taking forever.
I know.
He starts like choking this kid with like
light,
but it's not the light, it's like the dark force. Like it's like little strings of the dark force. So he's like fucking who's a dark force guy?
I don't know.
Dark, I'm trying to think of a guy in DC.
Dark Man.
No, like there's gotta be somebody that has like the ability.
Shadow Thief. That's an actual character.
Shadow Thief. But he doesn't do anything. Like he's just kind of like, it's a shadow and like
he can just dissolve.
He's
like Mirror Master, but he just dissolves into shadows instead of mirrors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And so he's about to be.
There's too many fucking forces in DC.
there is
Dark Force, Light Force,
Atari Force.
Is there an Atari Force?
Well, there was in the 80s.
Oh shit! Can we bring that back?
You know what? I think
just Space Invaders. Is it like that episode of Futurama where the Space Invaders come down?
No.
He's like, I got this 2-liter bottle of Shasta and my All Rush mixtape. Let's go.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But as as he's doing that, then the Ray somehow comes out and separates himself from
He separates himself. He's back. He's like outside of the
Death mask.
Death Ray. Death dude. Whatever. He's out. And then that guy is computered.
Yeah. No. Like, the Death mask is still standing. He just separated himself. And they're like, oh, you're alive. You know, because he comes out to reunite with this kid and the thing. And they're like, oh, where is he now? I was like, oh, no. And they're like, oh, yeah. No, look, he's still standing there.
Oh.
So we still got to deal with that. And I think in the next issue, he gets, you know, he dies.
Computered.
Not the Ray, but the Death Mask.
He gets computered.
He gets computered. Computer apostrophe D. And then, yeah, and that's it for the issue, actually. That's how it ends. Yep. It's just him being like, oh, no.
People can't see me, but I'm sadly shaking my head.
So that's it for the Ray, number 23 from May 1996. Would you read the next issue of this?
No. I don't even know what the fuck happened in this issue.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I wanted to try the Ray. I mean, because there's some stuff about this book that actually I am interested in, but I don't know. I would want to catch up from like the beginning.
Yeah,
and I think there's like a trade or something that you can get that's from the miniseries that kind of updates you on some of that stuff. So I might just do that because I like the way he looks and I like the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I just, you know, literally came in the middle of some complete bullshit. I'm like, well, who's?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like what? Like unless if you're like a hardcore Ray fan, you're reading this book in 1996.
You know
you're not.
Happened.
You're probably not gonna be on board. So
correct.
Okay. Well, that's it for that one. We'll come back with more bullshit, and we'll be right back.
Hey, hi. How are you? I'm Jamie Flam, and I am the artistic director of the Hollywood Improv. Basically, that means I'm the one responsible for booking comedians, producing shows, and making sure every night at the club is magical. You might even call me the gatekeeper. Okay, so not really, but maybe, I don't know. Outside of my job at the Improv, I also perform and write comedy, which means I sit in front of many gatekeepers myself. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's helped me learn a lot as well. Now I host a podcast about it. Each week, I talk with bookers, producers, decision makers, performers, and more.
Hey, this is Cole Stratton.
This is Janet Varney.
This is Troy Conrad.
This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to Gatekeeper.
It's an inside look at the art of saying yes and no. Also, there are sound effects. Be sure to subscribe to Gatekeeper on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find more info at SideshowNetwork.tv.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network, back with our second book of the week. We are jumping right into it. It is The Shroud, number three.
Yep.
We get to the cover, yeah. So The Shroud, number three, from May 1994. So The Shroud is a DC guy or a Marvel guy who I don't, he kind of just shows up in things.
Yeah.
He's a shower upper. He just shows up in stuff and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really do much other than like show up for a few issues and like fight with the hero, you know, fight. He fights with the hero. He fights on their side. He does, you know, whatever. And then he goes away and then he shows up in another book. What?
Fun fact. He is also another blind Marvel hero.
He is another Brian Marvel hero, and you'll be interested to know, he is pretty much the combination of Batman and Daredevil.
Yes, that's exactly, yeah, Batman and Daredevil wearing the Spectre's cloak.
But it's all black.
But it's black. And that's exactly what he is.
And he's got, like, bugs on his hat. He's got a bug on his hat.
Yeah.
So basically, okay, so I'll just give you a quick 401 on him, because this is kind of, you know, I guess I like talking about these characters because I like being how interesting I sound. So the Shroud, his parents were killed in front of him.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
I'm serious. And so he was like,
alleyway after a theater.
No, it was after a bad day.
Hamilton.
It was after a bad date at a roller coaster. the dad was like, "This is really expensive. We don't know why he brought the cans." Shoot, dead. No.
I actually would hope it was outside of a Hamilton showing. The kid's like walking around. He's like, "Alexander Hamilton."
You know what's going to happen?
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh no! Don't see what's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna hear this and be like, "Yo, we gotta reboot Batman again." He's gonna come out of Hamilton.
He's gonna come out of Hamilton.
And after and then the Lin-Manuel can come out and he can like do a rap, and then they'll just be the, you know, the kids will love it because big, yeah, it's Hamilton.
Woo, Hamilton.
And it's like Batman too.
Shit, Hercules Mulligan, bitch. Like, yeah.
It's inevitable.
It is. Now it's all, instead of Zorro, it's now Hamilton.
Please be. What did he see? What are they seeing in Batman v Superman? Was it Excalibur?
Yes, it was Excalibur.
Fucking Excalibur.
Right.
Some random movie. Probably some movie that like Zack Snyder was like, "Oh, I'm not gonna." Yeah.
I think it's a real movie.
No, it's a real movie.
And there's like there was something in some article that mentioned like Excalibur and like why it was weird that they picked it.
Because it's a random fucking movie.
Yeah, but there was some, I don't remember.
I mean, I know of it. You know, yeah, I'm certain that maybe it was a movie that Zack Snyder was like, "I love this when I was a kid. I didn't even tell the spoilers to anybody, which is why you shouldn't."
Yeah. Here's my iPhone video of me begging you not to tell the spoilers. You guys did.
Okay, I don't know.
I wonder if anybody else
knows. No, because we saw it on Thursday.
We did.
We saw it on Thursday, and there was a thing in the very beginning, because we saw it again, and it wasn't the beginning. But
it was a different theater we saw it at, too.
We saw it at the Arclight out here, and fucking Zack Snyder shows up at the beginning on a shitty iPhone movie video, and he's like, "Hey, don't tell, you know, when you're seeing this movie, don't tell everybody about it that hasn't seen it yet, because that's how movies are supposed to be. Look at my tattoos. Goodbye."
Yeah, it was kind of like, the more you know.
No, I was just kind of like, fuck you.
Yeah, we're like, "Now, but it's like,
I'm not
going
to tell anybody about this, but I mean, they'll know it sucks."
Yeah, we don't have to say anything.
Don't worry. People will tell people it sucks. They're not going to say anything, but they're going to know. Which, actually, did you hear about this real quick in other Beavis news?
Beavis?
Beavis. So the director's cut is coming out, right?
Oh, I can't wait.
Which, awesome. Can't wait to see that. But
an extra 30 minutes of footage, making it a 3-hour movie.
Please let it be an extra half hour of Superman just eating the flowers he bought. Just cooking and be like, they're not cooking. Anyways, because if you didn't see Batman,
everyone who listens to this podcast has either seen Batman v Superman or has made a conscious choice not to.
No, and I'm wondering if they know about our theory about how.
Oh no,
Clark. When in the first scene where he shows up and he's like, "Hey,
Lois
honey,"
is in the bathtub.
Lois is in the bathtub. He's like, "Hey, honey, how was Africa? I bet it was exciting, you know." And she's like,
"People died." And he was like, "I'm gonna make you dinner," and all he has is a bag full of flowers. You can tell there's nothing in it. It's one of those horrible Hollywood things where they can't even fucking bother to put
where they filled it with a bunch of paper and they just put a bunch of flowers at the top.
Yeah. And they're like, here, just tell him you're going to do this. And so Sean's theory is that he was going to cook the flowers.
Which I don't understand. Why are you walking in? You can't just put it down on the counter because you have to
go. You're in the fucking bathroom.
You bring it in the bathroom. Like,
I mean, unless that's where their front door is. Like,
so next time,
that's a better question.
Next time I'm in the toilet and if you go shopping and you come in, I want you to come in with all the groceries and talk to me.
But
I just put them all on the ground and just be like, hey, look, I bought some silly pasta.
But like, that's him walking in for the very first time. Is that their front door?
Yes. Yes.
It's in the fucking bathroom.
You have to go through the bathroom to get to the living room.
Like, this isn't a legal apartment, you guys. It's really hard to find housing in Metropolis.
It's literally just like a toilet in the middle of the thing. We just built a toilet in here.
Yeah, this is where, unless you want to use the one down the hall.
Or maybe.
This is it.
Maybe, I have a theory. Maybe. on Krypton, the toilets were when you walked into the room. Maybe you don't always know what the architectural deal was with Krypton. Yeah. So maybe they had toilets. You just walked right in and toilets were there.
You know, it could be.
Toilets and bathtubs.
Well, because, you know, sometimes you get home and you're like, I really got to pee. Toilet right there.
You know what? I like that idea. I'm not going to lie. I like it.
Can we talk about how the Shroud's parents died while seemingly seeing Hamilton again?
Yes. Okay. So anyway, his parents died even after seeing Hamilton, and they I didn't get to make the point I was going to make quick.
What was your point?
So apparently the Bivis news. So apparently the cinematographer or the somebody that worked on the film, somebody big that worked on, I think the cinematographer, watched he originally said that he tweeted and he goes, meh, not that good.
Oh, shit.
Right? And then he watched it again. And he goes, you know what? It's really great.
Oh, yeah, because somebody got to him.
I cannot wait to see this footage. I don't know why. I don't know why we subject ourselves to this, but I cannot wait.
No, we're going to be the only assholes who buy that fucking DVD.
Oh, yeah.
We're the worst.
Anyway, so Shroud, Hamilton, all that stuff. So basically, he was like, I'm going to become justice, right? So he went and he actually went to college. He wasn't like Bruce Wayne. He went to college and got a criminal degree.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went like to learn how to fight across the world. And he went to like this cult of Kali.
Okay.
Which is why he's got the Shroud stuff and all that. Apparently they gave him like this mark on his face where they blinded him, but it also gave him his daredevil powers.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So now he what he was doing was going around to different like crime organizations being like, hey, I'll help you because I'm the Shroud.
Right.
And then he just kind of fucks with them on the inside and kind of ruins them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like his deal.
Yeah.
So anyways.
The Shroud.
Stanley presents The Shroud.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley has no idea who The Shroud is.
No, he doesn't.
The first thing we see, though, this is number three. This is a miniseries. Four-issue miniseries. And we're at number three. And it says, and it's on the cover, because real quick, on the cover, he's fighting this woman with a similar mark on her head.
Yeah, and she's all bald except for a ponytail. So she's like one of those guys.
There's a lot of ponytails in this book, actually.
She's one of those guys who's like, I'm losing my hair except for right here at the back. Holding on to it for as long as I can.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So she shows up and she's there. Her name is Callie. Her mission, kill.
Sure.
Goddess of death.
Whatever. All right.
So the first scene we see is the Shroud, it looks like he's being like grazed by a bullet.
Right. In the ear.
In the ear. Now, what's funny about this is that on the opposite page, the ad is for Naked Gun 33 and a third, which right. the poster is Frank Drebin shooting a gun, and you see the bolt kind of ricocheting off everything.
Right, so it kind of looks like this bullet is the one that's also hitting the shroud.
Right, so it kind of looks like, yeah, it kind of looks like the bullet is a magic bullet and it hits a shroud, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So basically, you know,
it's people trying to take out the shroud.
They're trying to take him out.
Oh, I remember what's coming. He's trying to get into this place.
Yeah.
This, like, I don't know, fortified place. And so they're trying to get him because they knew he was coming. So he takes them down because he is
Dare
Batman.
They Dare Bat.
Dare Bat.
Frank Dare Bat. So basically they're like, yeah, he's dead. And he's like, all right. And he's like, no, he's not.
Nope.
You know, he flips people over. Like, I don't know what the physics are here. They're dragging him.
I don't know.
He stands up and then switches them with his arms.
Sure.
You know, because he's so strong.
Trained in the art of
fight. Yeah. And then he, you know, uses this guy as a human shield. And then we go to this girl.
Terribly drawn girl, by the way.
Yes.
She has no internal organs.
None.
That's the first thing
I saw. I'm like, how do you life?
She doesn't, unless her stomach is in her hips. She does not life. So she's one of those, like,
she's wearing like mom jeans, but she's also wearing like, you know,
a really tiny shirt that shows side boob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 90s are all about side boob.
Yeah. Side boob's coming back.
Side boob's making a comeback?
Side boob's been making a comeback for a long time.
Yeah.
Side boobs.
Was there a newsletter I missed about this?
Yeah, no, we all get them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a side boob come making a comeback.
It just gets in the shows up in the mail.
Yeah. Like, oh, good. Now I know which body part to showcase.
Well, here's what I thought was funny is that she's like, well, I got this file on the shroud. I guess I can get rid of it.
Right, because she thinks he's dead just because she saw that guy shoot at him.
Yeah.
But apparently did not see the part where he rallied and kicked all of her men's asses.
Yeah.
So she's like, guess I don't need this anymore. Click, click, click.
But I like this file because it's literally, she's like, oh, I guess there's never much to it anyways. And literally the file just says file name, the shroud, real name, unknown. Base of operations, Los Angeles. Criminal record, linked to numerous crimes, never indicted. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
That doesn't look very official, but sure. So basically, yeah, so he's, you know, finished whooping these guys, and then
he shows up in her bedroom.
Shows up in her bedroom.
And he was like, hey, so I know that you work for the CIA. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, no, shut up.
Like, what are you doing?
Like, I fucking know you really. And she's like, fine, yes, I work for the CIA. My husband is the king of fuck offica, and
no, he's not a king, he's just like a
he's a king.
Oh, is he really?
Is he says it says he's a king.
Oh,
unless they call him the king.
I thought Mrs. King. Her name, his last name is King. It's like Garrick King, that's his name. He's like some sort of crime guy. His name, last name is King.
Yeah, but I thought he was also a king.
I don't know, he doesn't seem like a king.
He's a drunk king.
Drug king.
Yeah, so she's a CIA operative. She worked her way into his inner circle.
So she works in the inner circle. She found
I'm going to pretend he's really a king.
Well, here's the thing. So she went like undercover so much that she just got married to him.
Yeah, she got married to him.
She's like, I found out what kind of girls he likes, and then I just kind of like stuck it out.
Which is working, but now you're fucking ruining everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, that's kind of what I do. I'm the Shroud. And she's like, well, Shroud, perhaps I can make it up to you by offering you my extremely weird body.
I can offer you whatever's here. I don't have everything.
I have no internal organs. So do not worry about pregnancy. I have no uterus. There's no space for it.
I'm missing everything in my abdomen.
Don't worry. I can still take a dick. And he's like... And that's kind of
why Was that a missing panel? Which she's like, I could still take. I could take 7 inches and balls too.
Yeah. Well, that's why do you think the crowd started laughing?
And he starts laughing. he starts laughing so hard that they have to actually. He doesn't go ha. He goes ha ha ha.
Yeah, like huge ha ha ha. And he's like, whatever, laid him out. So he's not convinced of her ability to take 7 inches and balls.
No. And then, so then we jump to
his headquarters.
His headquarters, because he has a team.
I know, but this is so weird because these guys, I know they're supposed to be like good guys, but they come off as henchmen.
Pretty much.
Right?
They're very like nondescript.
They're called cat and mouse.
Cat and mouse.
It's like one guy, one girl.
One guy, yeah. I think there's also
a coloring error here.
Why?
So.
Why? Because her hair is brown here and red here?
No, I'll tell you here in a second. So like. We go back to the shitty apartment that is their hideout.
Yeah.
And they have like a scorpion guy.
It's the scorpion.
It's the scorpion.
It's Mac Gargan, the scorpion. For some reason, he's been captured here.
He's been captured. And they're like, okay, well, you know, he's got a sedative or whatever. And he picks his little locks.
Because he's got shackles.
To get out. So he gets out and he grabs this woman around the neck and he says, come here, blondie.
Oh. But she's never blonde.
No, she's not. That's why I think it's a coloring error. Like, whoever colored this didn't read that panel, or they did too late, and they were just like, too bad. We're just going to pretend that guy's colorblind.
Come here, blondie. He calls everybody blondie.
Yeah, he calls her a blondie.
Come here, Deborah Harry.
So, who comes in but the Shroud?
Yeah, the Shroud, and he starts fighting. And it's actually not a bad fight.
No, it's not bad.
It's pretty bad. I've always liked the Scorpion, because he has, like, this outfit, and it's very basic outfit, but it looks really like dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, and I've always liked,
because he's got the tail,
and you know, and he's got his claws, and he's just, you know, he's just really dangerous. And him and the Shroud have a fight, and then they're like, come on, boss, let's hop in. He's like, no, I got it, you know. And you know, he's just using his fighting. Also, the Shroud talk, he's one of those guys who has to have, like, weird speech bubbles.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah. Like, they're always, like, different color.
Like, they're like, slightly gray, and they're in boxes, kind
of
like...
Yeah, instead of, like, a regular bubble.
Because that means he's kind of, like, talking, like, you know, that means he's got some sort of special voice.
He's got Christian Bale's Batman voice going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the fight goes outside, smashes in somebody's car. For some reason, we get, like, a quick panel of, like, hoodlums.
Yeah, I guess they were like gonna steal that car, and then the Shroud and Scorpion fell on it, and now they can't, so they're sad.
Like, just have a slash on a car. It's like, that's like wasted. Like, it was like, oh, I gotta draw these guys with the hubcaps. I'm
right,
like,
they're like, haha, joke. And you're like, yeah, it's not really, it's not that funny. It was kind of pointless here, but whatever.
So
maybe to like represent what a bad neighborhood the Shroud hangs out in.
No, he hangs out in Los Angeles. Wonder if he hangs out probably hangs out wonder if he hangs out in Silver Lake.
Is that a bad neighborhood now?
No, but maybe that's like, you know, if the Shroud was here now, he'd be like hanging out at like hipster places and stuff. You know, he has a hipster hideout.
He's like, this used to be a kind of weird area of town, and now it's so nice with all these coffee shops.
The giant Starbucks down the street.
Fucking man, that Starbucks is huge.
Yeah, there's like a Starbucks like on La Cienega that is just open. It is quite, because it used to be a Burger King.
It is the biggest Starbucks I've ever seen.
But they basically were just like, fuck it. We're just going to make the entire, like, it's like such a gigantic Starbucks.
Plus drive-thru. Which is
open sort of late. And yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
So God.
But like, you go in there and you're like, why is there so much space in this Starbucks? But there's so much space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so we get a lot of, you know, so Scorpion gets away and then he goes over to, because he's kind of like a paid assassin kind of guy.
And of course, he doesn't take off his suit. He just puts a trench coat and a hat over it to go talk to his contact.
Yeah. Just drags his tail.
God forbid we would take the suit off.
And he goes to see, what's this fucking guy's name?
Oh, guy.
No, I know. I should know his name, because he's a. He's a part of the story.
Yeah, but he's the one who calls up, what's her name?
Callie.
He's like, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of him because we've got Callie.
Lassiter.
Okay, well, that's what Lassiter
is. So this is the 90s. He has a random ponytail.
Everybody has ponytails.
Everybody has long Peter Steele fucking hair.
I'm assuming that if the Shroud took off his Shroud, he would also have a ponytail.
He would. He would probably have the longest ponytail.
He would. Yeah.
He would probably have a skullet with a ponytail. And it would be gigantic. I mean, because hey, this Lasseter guy, it's like he has a he doesn't have to. Well, that's like everybody had that sort of hair thing, and that's just a lot of work.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, Callie shows up. What's his face is here?
Scorpion.
Scorpion's here, and he's all like, "Hey, I'm supposed to be the one to take this job," and she's like,
"Too fucking bad."
And she like, you know, and then they start flirting. You know, because he's like, hey, I could do this all day, all night. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. Is she going to fuck Scorpion? All right. Because, you know, does he take out a scorpion dick? Like, you know, because that's a full body costume. Like, how does he get that out?
There's got to be like a way you can get your dick out to pee through those costumes, right?
Either that or you just
like for Spanx, they have like all Spanx have like a crotch hole.
Yeah.
Like, so you can like pull them aside so you can pee without taking your Spanx off.
Yes.
I don't like that, but that's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming like maybe male costumes are like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Or you can get your dick out.
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, man, well, actually, well,
what?
I do remember in, Batman or Man of Steel XXX.
Oh yeah.
They do have access hatches.
Well, no, okay. In fairness, Man of Steel XXX, when Superman is, who does he fucking, Zatanna?
Yes.
Okay. If you notice, that suit just doesn't have, it just has a hole where his crotch is and his dick is just hanging out. So there's no access hatch.
No. But when Bizarro does his thing, he has an access hatch.
Oh, does he?
I remember that.
Oh, see, I don't remember that. I just remember the one where Superman's fucking Zatanna, and, like, it's just the normal suit, except it's got, like, a hole, and, like, his balls and his dick are just hanging out. It's really weird.
This is not a show for kids, guys.
Not that I've ever seen Man of Steel XXX. I've only heard.
Yeah.
I've only heard tell.
I've only seen pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Tumblrs.
I just know it's real.
So basically they set up, like, everybody here sets up like a sting for
the shroud,
and they meet him on a boat, Staten Island ferry, which it's kind of weird because this girl's husband, the king, whatever he is,
king, yeah.
He's there to do like a transfer of money or something,
yeah,
with Lasseter,
yeah, do some business.
And but they've already set up the sting because the shroud's there to protect him.
Right.
And just as he's about to kind of step in to.
Lasseter meets King, and he's, you know, shroud's listening to him and he's there to help out. But just as Scorpion comes and like grabs
King,
he's like, Shroud, help me, but it's too late because Kaya or whatever her name is,
Callie
has grabbed
the Callie's
shroud.
Got to jump on the shroud, which is supposed to be impossible because how is that possible?
Right. And then he's like, oh, that's right, I'm blind.
No, he's not blind, but
no,
he,
but like, it says right there, it says like for the first time in a long time he remembers that he's blind.
But he's all
it says that right there.
No, it does, but it's also no, because what happened is he has sensory perception.
Right.
So he should have known she was coming.
Right. But she's so good that he
But she's so good because she's kind of tied into like the stuff that he's already, you know, he's
right.
Gave him the sensory perception that he didn't know she was coming. Mm-hmm. And so she gets to jump on him and he's asking who's there. And that's why they're like, well, that's a blind question. A blind man would ask that.
Right.
But, you know, it's the first time that he can't actually see who it is.
Right.
And so she's like, starts.
She's like, I'm here in my spandex pants with cutouts.
She got some serious legs.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she ain't fucking around.
No, she does super squats.
She got size.
Yeah.
She's about, you know,
she's got a weird ponytail, and she's got that like bug mark on her head.
Yep. So she's about to fuck up. Fuck
up the
up.
Shroud.
And that's it.
That's it.
And then the next issue, Spider-Man shows up
to also fuck up the shroud.
Well, the way they're making it sound, it's like...
It looks like they fight, but that's not what happens.
Spider-Man is the Shroud versus everybody, including Spider-Man.
Right.
And I'm assuming there's like a minute where they fight, and he goes, hang on, why am I here? Oh, that's right, to help you out.
Right, of course. That's what always happens.
You know, and that's it for the Shroud. So,
Shroud.
Would you read the next issue of this?
You know, probably.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, sure, Shroud.
I think I have number two, because I have to find one and four.
Okay.
But I have number two, so I might, I'm looking forward to reading the rest of this. I like him.
I really hope there's a large section about how his parents died after Hamilton.
I hope so too. I feel that would be
even though it didn't exist when this was published. It's gonna be like, just trust me guys, it's gonna be a musical about Alexander Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton is gonna be
a real big fucking thing.
It's gonna be the biggest deal, so you guys get ready. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN on Twitter and Instagram. Also, my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And you can find the show on iTunes, everywhere you get your downloads, you know, TuneIn, Stitcher, SideshowNetwork.tv. Please check out all of our shows. Rate and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get the show. Tell us you enjoy it. Comment. Give us 5 stars. Tell a friend. Tell people that you dig the show, and we will continue to bring you fun content and talk about bad dates and legal seafood and all that stuff.
You know, the stuff you really come here for.
Yeah, I think you do. I think people are kind of like, yeah, I want to know more about these people. I'm like, well, now you're gonna find out.
You're in now.
Yeah, oh yeah, you guys are invested. You guys might as well come live with us. That's it for this week's show. We'll talk to you guys again next time.
Bye.